Here are some of the other stories NPR News is following today. Massachusetts' highest court has ruled that civil unions aren't enough. The court says anything short of full equal marriage rights for same-sex couples is unconstitutional and discriminatory. And there's been some damaging testimony against Martha Stewart at her trial in New York on charges of insider trading. Douglas Faneuil testified that he told Stewart that the founder of ImClone was selling all his shares in his company. Faneuil told the court that Stewart responded by telling him to sell her shares in the company. More details later on All Things Considered from NPR News. Tomorrow, 2 years into No Child Left Behind, the debate is as fierce as ever. Several states are considering opting out of federal funds so they can opt out of the federal mandate. An update on President Bush's efforts to make schools accountable. And now, from baby kissing to handshaking, there are certain things that presidential candidates just have to do. Now it seems that publishing a campaign book is being added to that list. Part autobiography, part stump speech. The books rarely receive good reviews. They are rarely written by the candidate, and one could argue they are rarely read. If you've read any of the recent crop of candidates' books, though, give us a call and tell us what you thought. Our number, 1-800-989-TALK. After weeks of searching, we have actually found someone who's read every one of the books written by the Democratic contenders and the most recent offering from President George W. Bush. Jeff Gwynn is the books editor at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He reviewed the books in Monday's paper and joins us now on the phone from his office in Fort Worth. Jeff, what made you want to do it?
Well, it was one of those things that an editor suggested might be interesting, and I almost felt it was my duty. I get to read a lot of good books, so this time I just sort of dug in and read each of these all the way through.
How long did it take you?
I read them over a weekend and then part of Monday. Very few of them are written to take a lot of time reading. They just want to convince you the author is wonderful and then have you move on before you have time to think too much about what you just read.
Well, let's hear your picks and pans. Who got the best review on your list and who got the worst?
Well, there were a lot more contenders for worst than best, and I'd like to stress that I'm evaluating the books, not the political philosophies or the actual, you know, qualities of the candidates to be president. But John Edwards, by far, has the best one. Now, it's ghostwritten, as I think all of these are, even though very few of them acknowledge they're ghostwritten. But at least Edwards' book is about something specific. It's called Four Trials. And he talks about four cases that he was involved with as an attorney, the things he learned from those cases, and he relates these things to some incidents in his own life. And you actually feel like you're reading about something. You're actually seeing a glimpse of who the person is. The rest of the books are pretty much, here's why I'm wonderful and should be president, and oh, by the way, I'm not going to say anything that might offend anybody. But maybe the worst of them in terms of simply putting you to sleep is John Kerry's book, A Call to Service. And again, that's because it's a book of platitudes. One of the examples I used in my review is, how do you in any way feel like you've learned something from an opening line in a chapter of all the challenges I discuss in this book? Education is as basic to America's future as any you can imagine. I mean, come on.
All right, I want to tell our listeners that we are talking about the books that presidential candidates have written or have had ghost written for them. If you'd like to join the discussion, the number is 1-800-989-8255. You can send us an email at totn@npr.org. Now, Jeff Gwynn, I'm surprised to hear you say that about Kerry's book because it seems to me that got a fair amount of play in the press and is doing pretty well.
Well, it is. It's selling quite well. At one point, it was, I think, number 287 in the Amazon.com list. But again, let's think about what the books are supposed to do and who's reading them. I mean, in a sense, they're campaign advertising in print. Mm-hmm. And the people who substantially support a candidate are quite likely to buy his book and read it. And because the things that are in the book are either rewritten stump speeches or actually reproduced stump speeches, you're just going to be getting reinforced, which you believe to begin with. And I think the candidates also hope that someone who's undecided might pick up his book and think, you know, this guy sounds pretty good. There's very little in the way of substance. There isn't meant to be. That's not the purpose of these books.
Who really writes these books?
Usually staff writers. I think you may remember 4 years ago, with George Bush and his book, A Charge to Keep. His campaign originally hired a veteran ghostwriter named Mickey Herskowitz to write the book. And about halfway in the process, Herskowitz either quit or was fired. He said he quit because he wasn't getting enough substance from the campaign to put into the book. The Bush campaign simply said they wanted to go in a different direction, and Karen Hughes, one of Bush's advisors, pretty much finished the book up, but it still had his name on it. So usually you get staffers. In a couple of cases, you might get outside ghostwriters. And, of course, with Dennis Kucinich, Studs Terkel wrote a brilliant, brilliant foreword for his book, A Prayer for America.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too bad that the rest of the book is reproduced speeches by the candidate. They should have let Studs Terkel write the whole thing, and then it really would have been something.
We're talking with Jeff Gwynn about the books that the Democratic candidates have written to go along with their campaigns. Let's take a call now from Karen, calling from Massachusetts, I believe. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I just had a question or wanting to elicit a comment about Al Sharpton's book, Al on America. In his book, he talks about the distinction that he makes between being a man of a religious man and his views on, say, abortion and the death penalty. And I just thought it was very interesting that he makes the distinction in his book that just because he's a religious man does not mean that, that his church doesn't believe that abortion is right, but he believes that it is because he calls it a civil rights issue. And I was just wondering, you never heard him speak in the debates or anything about his religion or anything like that. So I was just wondering, you know, how you felt about Al Sharpton's book.
Well, I pick it in my roundup as the second most interesting or entertaining of all of them.
And entertaining.
Well, I think part of the reason is that there's no chance Al Sharpton is going to actually get the nomination. He's right. The one candidate who would feel he has nothing to lose and can pretty much say what he wants to, and sometimes he does that. Other times he falls back on the glittering generalities, too, which makes that part of his book that much more disappointing. But after Edwards' book, there's a drop-off, but then I think it's Sharpton in at number two, particularly with some of his comments about how the Democratic Party likes to treat blacks and Latinos as scarlet whores. They want them with them, but they don't want to let everybody know that in public. And somehow I just can't see the phrase scarlet whore drifting into John Kerry's book, for instance.
Now, if you were asked to ghostwrite a book like this, would you do it?
Well, I think that the people who ghostwrite these generally are professionals whose job it is to polish up somebody else's work. My books, I haven't worked as a ghostwriter yet. Maybe if I believed in a specific candidate enough and thought that I'd have the opportunity to actually have something of substance in a book, I'd do it. But again, I don't think that's what candidates would want, so I doubt I'd be asked.
Let's see if we can get one more call in here. Bob? Hi, Bob from Iowa.
Yeah. You know, I bought Edwards for trials. I live in Iowa, and we were really being bugged to pick a candidate. And after I read his book, I signed on. I'm a former Democrat county chair, but the book just convinced me that Edwards is less likely to sell out to big money and powerful interests if he gets in the White House, and I'm still working for him. I compare that book to the bestseller a few years ago, A Civil Action, but it was very little of the book I felt was political come on, parts of it are, but really it's a great book on somebody that made a lot of money, but they did it defending people that had really been injured wrongly, you know.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Bob.
Yeah.
I guess that proves that people really do read these books after all, right, Jeff Gwynn?
Well, if people read them, I think they get out of them what the candidates put into them.
All right. Well, thanks so much for talking with us, Jeff.
It was a pleasure. Take care.
Jeff Gwynn is the books editor for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He joined us by phone from his office in Fort Worth, Texas. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.